think I got one.
And I'll happily accept that. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's a good time. But I'm just telling you, I wouldn't trade what I have. I wouldn't trade what I have with my family for anything in this world anymore. I mean, you know, God knows we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. But that's okay because God gets us back on track. And what I have, I was just talking to the pastor about it. What a lot of people don't understand, unsaved people won't understand what riches, life, and honor really is. I don't have riches money-wise, but me and my family have riches that Jesus has given us. That is, I mean, passes all any money. It passes any gold, any silver that could ever be given to me and my family. God gives us those type of riches, and I just tell you, man, it makes it worth it in this battle. It's a hard battle, man. You got to strap your boots up and grab your gun and get ready to go. And I just tell you what, it's not always easy. It's a hard struggle. But you know what? We did it living for the world. Why can't we do it for the one who died for us? Why can't we do it for the one who said, you know what? I love this person so much, I'm going to the cross for him. Why can't we do that for him? Why can't we fight for him once in a while? I mean, that's what he's asking us to do. And Lord, just help my family, Lord. Save my boys, save my family, whoever's not saved, even in this room. May the Lord save you and give you that true life. I preached on it this morning about the ways of man, and the ways of man always lead to death. I'm just telling you now, and destruction. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 9. Professing salvation, but not having it. Professing salvation, but not having it. There's people in pews today. There's people in pews all across the United States who are sitting there, and they're professing salvation and have missed it. And Lord's gave me some series before on Bible salvation and such. But this here is just something it's very rampant in the churches today. People who are professing to have salvation and they just don't have it. They missed the mark. They missed what was really going on. So I had an Acts here, Acts chapter 9. I have to read off a piece of paper because I'm having a hard time seeing my Bible, getting used to the glasses and everything. But it says Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself with some great, that he was something, that what, excuse me, giving out that himself was some great one. Here we see Simon, this guy Simon out here, and he's out there professing that he's some great one. And I'm going to read down what I have written here. It says that he is walking around tricking people into believing that he is saved and has power with God, and he has the power of the wrong God, as most people do who call themselves Christians. You look around, you have the Joel Osteens and the Charles Stanleys and all these people out there, and what are they out there doing? They're out there deceiving these people. Out there telling them that they're saved, and they're out there preaching this garbage, and they have people, they're tricking them into believing that they really have power with God. You know, they've missed the mark. As we go on more, you're going to see how this makes more sense. But I'm just telling you, there's people out there today who are out there preaching a different gospel, a different Jesus. It's not the same one that we have for those who are saved in this church. He's not the same Jesus, man. They missed it. They've gotten the wrong thing. Why? Because they still have the world in their heart. They've missed it. And I'm going to show you that today out of the Word of God, where this guy Simon has missed it. He's thinking he have it, and he's missed it. Acts 8, verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great power of God. They're all looking at this guy and listening to what he has to say. And it says they gave heed. They were buying what this guy was saying because it looked and sounded like the real thing. But it is not. These so-called Christians walk around looking and sounding real good today. And they are leading people astray with their false gospel and doctrine. People are falling for it, and they're giving heed to it. You see this guy, Simon, these people are really believing, man, this guy's got power with God. And you look at people, you know what their excuse is and why they don't come to church anymore? Because they'll sit there and watch some TV evangelists on TV. This guy's leading them astray, knowing darn well that the people should be sitting in a church pew listening to preaching, not on the couch, giving their money to him. You see, these people are missing the mark. They miss the whole point of it. So we have Simon, he's standing here, and he's got these people, he's deceiving them. He's got them believe he really knows what's going on. He's got them fooled. I mean, they're listening to what this guy said. That's what it says. They gave heed. They're listening to him. They're giving in to what he has to say. 2 Timothy 4:4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. These guys are preaching fables, man. They are not preaching the King James Bible. They are not preaching the Word of God. They are preaching some fairy tale things. I remember being in prison. I forgot the guy, Ernest Angeli. That's his name. This guy was about 90 years old, Ernest Angeli. And you used to write his ministry, and he was real big at the prison, and he'd send you a healing cloth. For $5, he'd send you a healing cloth. His name was Ernest Angeli. I'm not even sure if the guy's alive. Probably not. That was back, 12 years, 13 years ago when I got out of prison. But I'm just telling you now, you send this guy money, and he says, I'll pray over that, and then I'll send it to you that has healing power in it. You see, he missed the mark. He missed it. I mean, he doesn't have it right. But this is what this guy signed it. This is what he's doing. He's got these people believing this stuff. He's got them listening to what he's got to say. And they're, I mean, all over the place in America today, they're falling for left and right. Professing salvation and not having it. I'm going to show you here. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear by lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation in Jesus and the Bible are all simple to understand. But as the devil did back in the garden, he came in and changed the words and takes words out of the real word of God, and people listen and follow. It is made harder to understand. Salvation and repentance are missed because of meanings that have been changed. And now more and more people are falling for it and turning their backs on the truth. The simplicity that's in Christ. Honestly, it's hard because our flesh makes it hard, but it's really not that hard. But I'm telling you, when you got NIV Bibles and all that kind of stuff, and listen to what these people are preaching, that is some hard stuff. How do I know that? Because I used to study the ASV, the NIV, and all that stuff in prison. I did that for years. You know what it did for me? Nothing. Nothing. I still grabbed the pornography. I still smoked the cigarettes. I still went out there and did gang activity. Didn't change my life a bit. Not one inkling. But yet these people are picking the same stuff up and thinking that they have salvation. They're thinking they really have a Christian life. They missed it. I'm telling you now they missed it. Let's go on and read a little more. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, nor received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. This is the Christianity of today. This is what the people are following today. These so-called churches with these new versions are cursed because it is the other gospel Paul talks about.
If you don't believe me, go ahead and just get one of the other Bibles and you compare it. Amy just pointed something out to me the other day. Somebody gave us a calendar, and it's an NIV. She went and compared it, and it has the meaning is so different, it almost makes you puke. You're like, are you kidding me? At least the one was, he'll make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We know it says that he'll direct your path. They're saying that he'll make your path straight. I'm sorry, but God is not going to conform to you and make your path straight. He's going to direct your path, but he's not going to make your path straight.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what these Bibles are doing to people. And that's just a little something that I find.
Yeah.
And so they're sitting there and telling, listen, they take the blood of Jesus out. They take the holiness out of Christ. I mean, they take all that stuff out of it, and they're walking around here like they're saved.
They walk around and profess that they have healing powers. And listen, I'm just telling you, man, there's people that are in Baptist churches, because I was one of them, sitting in a Baptist pew lost, thinking that I had salvation at one time. You know what I was missing? Everything the Bible said that I would have when I was saved. That's why they don't like the King James Bible. Because it will tell you if you're lost or if you're not. It'll let you know if you're saved or not. And they don't like it. They don't want to see that they're lost. They don't want to see that they have to conform to what Jesus says. They don't want to see that they have to conform to what the preachers are up here preaching out of the Word of God. They don't want to see that they have to make their body a living sacrifice.
So go to NIV, ASV, all these other Bibles. Go ahead. You don't have to do that stuff when you're living that lifestyle. You can go in there and listen to rock music. I had a kid tell me, hey man, listen to this song. This is the newest thing. I mean, it was Christian death metal.
Really?
Okay? This is what he's telling me is Christian at Wellsprings. I looked at him and I said, buddy, you missed it, man. You got the wrong one. Jesus would never allow something like that. I mean, could you imagine him just conforming to our flesh and just let us listen to garbage like that? You see, they don't have to have a changed lifestyle. They don't have to have a changed lifestyle in the Christianity that they profess. They missed the whole 2 Corinthians 5:17 thing there. They missed the whole repentance. They don't have to do any of that with these new versions and the music they listen to, all that. They can live whatever lifestyle they want, stamp the name Christianity on them, and go ahead and live their life any way they want. You know what the sad thing is? They're going to wake up one day, and then the angels are going to grab them up, they're going to bind them and cast them in hell. There's your Christianity. How'd that feel for you? Professing salvation and not having it. They've missed it. You know, God gave us pictures of people that are out there doing it. He knew what was going to happen today in America. He knew what was going to happen today in this world. And here it is in Acts chapter 9. Now, I'm spiritualizing this, but you can see where I'm going with it. Who do you think wrote that? Me? Not me. The Holy Ghost wrote this. Why? To warn people out there.
That's right.
To warn people. Listen, you can walk there and profess Christianity and miss it. I think we missed it one time, didn't we, huh? We got it now, though.
Amen.
We got it now. I thank God for it. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for people preaching it and standing and putting up with it. Thank God for people preaching to me. Thank God for the love. I mean, just thank God. Let's continue on. Acts 8:11. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. This so-called Christianity is sorceries because it's from the god of this world, the devil. The devil has his own Christianity. I don't even like calling these other things. I call them the perversions. I don't even like calling them a Bible because they're so wicked and disgusting. But you know what? The devil said he's going to be like the Most High. So why not have his own Bible? Why not have his own Christianity? Why not have these people absolutely fooled that you can live the same way the world does and call yourself a Christian? And I'm not saying a Christian can't fall into it, because they can. But two things are going to happen. You're either going to get it right and repent, or God's going to take you off this earth. Point blank. That's it. There is no other.
I lived 40 years, and now all of a sudden I want to rededicate my life. Sorry, not going to happen.
You better get saved, not rededicate. Because God's not going to let you go 40 years and drag His name through the fire. He's not putting up with it. The Bible says you'll die. You live by the flesh, and you will die. Or you'll repent. A Christian can fall into that stuff.
Paul says it over and over again, the stuff he didn't want to do that he does do. So that means we can get into it just as well. But I'm just telling you now, you call yourself a Christian and think that you're going to live for this world and you stamp that name on you and you're going to be okay, you got the wrong Jesus, you got the wrong Bible, you got the wrong Christianity. I'm telling you that right now. I believe if I ever cross that line to I turn my back on God, He knew I wasn't coming back, I'm dead. I'll drop right there. I believe that in my heart. I have a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, I said I never feared anything in my entire life, but I'll tell you what. I fear how my God thinks of me. I fear that when I do things, what is my consequences for doing that? Why? Because He loves me. Not because He hates me. God doesn't punish me because He doesn't like me. I don't punish my kids because I hate them or I don't like them. I punish them because I want them to do good. I want them to learn. I want them to see. But you know what these people are getting at? Professing Christianity, they missed it. They're not getting that, Pastor. They're not getting correction from God. You know what they're getting? They're getting a boost from the devil. Yeah, keep going. You're all right. Keep going. Call it Christianity. You're okay. Go ahead. Keep living your life that way. You're all right. That's what they're getting. Just being deceived. Deceived. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. With these Bibles, the music, the tingling of their ears, this is what the devil wants to fool people. He gives them exactly what they want.
A life that's unrighteous. Me and Brother Scott were talking, He said, you know what is wrong with Christianity today? They don't like hearing that God makes you live a righteous life. He calls you out to righteousness, not unrighteousness.
Right.
These other ones that are professing Christianity are living unrighteous and trying to call themselves righteous.
I'm sorry, but you can't go out there and live unrighteously and call yourself righteous.
Right.
It's not going to happen. They're two totally different things. These people out there professing Christianity, they've missed it. Sad, sad that they won't even open their eyes or their hearts to know that they've missed it. Thank God we have people who preach here, who is patient with us and pray for us so that we can get it.
Amen.
We can get it. We got it. I thank God for that. Amen. You know why? Because the God of this world has blinded people. That's what it says right there. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I told the youth this morning,
I said, the fool hath said in his heart there is no God. So if you're sitting here telling me today that the ways of man are right, you're telling me you don't believe in God. Because if you believed in God, you would know that the ways of man are wrong and the ways of God are right.
Right.
So don't tell me you believe in God and you still want to live the ways of man.
That's what the devil has done to you. It says it right there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You can't believe in God and know that he is true and know that he is right and still agree with the way you live as a man.
If you have any kind of belief in your life, things are going to happen. Things are going to start changing. And you know what? Eventually you're going to repent and get saved. But you just sit here and tell me you believe in God and go out there and live any way you want, I have a hard time with that.
Why? Because I'm the one who didn't believe in God. I'm the one who went out there and lived any old way I wanted. And I didn't have a belief in God. So if that matches up with the way I used to live my life and you're doing the same thing, how are you telling me you're believing in God then? You're professing Christianity and you missed it. You missed it. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me, do I even have to expound on that verse?
It's pretty cut, clean, and dry right there. That tells you about this Christianity that's out there. Paul already knew it. Yeah, he already knew what was going to happen. God already, you know, he said, I'm going to set this in place. Why? Because I'm going to awaken some people up one day. They're going to need awakening up for this that's happening in our very age right now.
These people are out there professing Christianity and missing it. Why? Because the devil's giving them exactly what they want. He's acting like a god and giving them exactly what they want. Listen, when you're right with God, me and Pastor just talked about this the other day, God doesn't give you always what you want.
God forbid, especially if it agrees with you in your flesh. Tell me that's God. When does he agree with me in my flesh? Never. So don't sit here and tell me you have the right Christianity.
That's what they said is going to happen. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They can't put up with the King James Bible, so change it. Because they can't endure it. They can't put up with it. It hurts them. It shows them what they really are. They can't stand it anymore. They would rather have
the loss of their heart, the pride of their life. They would rather have the things of this world than be able to endure what the Word of God says about them.
And still stamp the name Christianity. I'm a Christian.
How many women I got pregnant now?
Really?
You cannot sit here and tell me. And I'm not saying a Christian can't fall into it, but it won't happen. It won't last long. God will take care of it some way, somehow. He will correct you. Something will happen to you.
For the time will come where they're not endure sound doctrine, but with their own lusts. See, the devil likes to feed them their own lusts. He likes to feed us our own lusts.
If given a chance. If given a chance, the devil will tear us up with our own lust. He don't have to touch it. He don't have to even put anything of his own in there. Why? Because it says our heart is desperately wicked. We already have enough in our own heart. The devil ain't got to mess with us. He can just feed us with it. Go ahead, yeah. And keep you blinded right along.
Keep you blinded for the rest of your life. 2 Timothy 4:4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The other perversions are fables, lies. They do not change lives. People are missing out by listening to an imposter.
An imposter. This Christianity that people are living in, it's an imposter. It's fake. It's not real. It's not true. Simon had these people believe in that. Joel Osteen and all these. Yeah, we got 4,000 or 5,000 people in our church because you're a fool. You have all these people fooled. You're a lying to them. You're sending them to hell. They don't even care as long as they fit. Somebody robbed Joel Osteen's offering place. They said they got like $25,000 for one day out of an offering plate. That right there is from the devil, people. 5,000 people in church. If it did happen, that's because the Holy Ghost swept somewhere and changed lives. But I'm just going to tell you now, these Joel Osteens and all this stuff, they are not from God. They are not from God with the way they live their life. If you could really see their life behind the scenes of what's really going on, it'd make you want to puke.
Most of us have been in this church long enough, even if you're not saved, to know that that type of stuff will make you sick. You know better than that sitting in this church. You hear the Bible. You may not always like the truth, but you'll accept it. You may not change it, but you'll accept it. These people aren't accepting nothing. They're getting fed with the lust. They're getting fed with what they wanted, and they're calling themselves a Christian. Christian, shame. It's a shame they're missing out, man. They're missing out on something. You know, I may not have monetary riches here.
My family's rich. You guys are rich. I mean, not money, but you guys are rich to me. This means a lot to me. You mean a lot to me. But the one thing that's, you know what? I'm going to heaven one day.
I mean, Jesus paid the price so that I, Dale Moore, can walk in them gates one day.
And riches beyond belief. I mean, riches, I don't even need them. I'm not worried about money and all that stuff. But you know what I get to do? I get to walk with Jesus, man.
The very one that I hated, the very one that I helped hang on that cross, I'm going to walk with him.
He's going to be my friend.
I get to go there. I don't have Christianity stamped on me and I'm not living a Christian life. Jesus saved me, man. This is not a fable. I stand on this King James Bible. I stand on the Word of God, the true and living Word of God. And I know that it hurts me. And I know that it makes me see what I really am, but I'm okay with that now. I have to accept that. Why? Because it makes me worse. No. It makes me better. Makes me better at what? For my kids. Makes me better for the Lord. Makes me better for the church. Makes me better for whatever. Just whatever. A little bit of King James Bible is better than anything this world could ever give you. And I'm telling you that right now.
Amen.
I mean, I live that. I believe that. Acts 8:12, verse chapter 12 now. But when they believed Philip, listen to this now. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts chapter 13. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs that which were done. Some were getting saved here. And those who came and believed with a true repentant heart got saved. But as we go on, we will see that Simon, once again, missed salvation. He's already professed it at one time. Now he's here, Philip here preaching, saying he believed and got baptized. But we're going to see here in a minute, he missed it again. And you know what? Peter comes out and he points and tells you exactly why he missed it. He tells him to his face, he says, Simon, this is why you missed it. He misses it. I'm going to show you that. But some were getting saved, and those who came and believed with a repentant heart got saved. But as we go on, we'll see that Simon missed salvation. We see another example in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I'm going to turn there and read this one real quick. 3 through 5. You know the story. Hang on a second. 27. 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Where Judas... Judas, we see here Judas, that he understood what he'd done to Jesus. He understood who he had done it to. But as Simon, Judas tried to repent on terms of the world. Judas never turned to Jesus for repentance and salvation, and therefore he died in his sin.
You go and read what he just said. He said he realized what he just done. We see he missed it. How did he miss it? He didn't go to Jesus for the repentance. He went to the world for repentance.
Okay.
Judas missed it. Not once did he ever go up to Jesus and say, "I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I realized what I did." No, he realized what he'd done, but he went the wrong way.
Right.
He tried getting saved the wrong way. There's one way for salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Judas missed it, same as Simon. Simon has missed it, and I'm going to show you why, how the Word of God, why he missed it for a second time. For a second time, he misses it. Never turned to Jesus for repentance and salvation, and therefore he died in his sin. This is where most people are today, and they have no clue. Acts 26:20. But showed first unto them Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and to them the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Here in Acts 26, the repent and turn to God is true repentance. It's a change of mind from our way to God's way. Then what happens? They do works that shows their repentance. Here is Simon for the second time that missed salvation, as many so-called Christians today. They tried to come to Jesus on their terms, with their pride, with no true repentance, and afterwards no works to show their repentance and claim to be saved. Works do not save, but when you're saved, you will have works that show repentance. Does not have to be in a ministry, but your life will show what really had happened. When you get saved, the Bible doesn't say you're going to change for nothing. The Bible doesn't say that things are going to happen in your life differently just to say it. It says it because it means what it says.
Right.
When you get saved and you repent, it's a slow process. Not anything came out of my life. I got so much stuff still in my life. It's disgusting. Things came out of my life slowly. But things are coming out of my life. Why? Because Jesus is taking it out the way order he sees fit, not the order I see fit. But he is doing that. There is change in my life. There is signs of repentance in my life that line up with the Word of God. Because of what I've done? No. Because of the indwelling of Jesus Christ and me abiding in him. Listen. Jesus is abiding in me. I'm not abiding in Jesus. I'm trying to explain what the guy said in the book here. You take a bucket and you fill it with water. At salvation, you get the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's just something that happens. So he says, you take a bucket, you put that bucket under the faucet, and you turn that water on. They're not connected at all. You're just filling that bucket with water. He says, but a believer is divine. Jesus is divine, and we are the branch. You see the connection? It's all one. So it's Jesus is, I'm living off of Jesus. Jesus is not living off of me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you understand? I'm living off of his life flow. He's not living off my life flow. So when you have that inside of you, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to stay the same person? I think not. You know why? He says we were grafted in. Those that are dead work should be cut off and burned. That's what it says it should happen. I paraphrase there. So I'm going to just tell you this now. If Jesus is in you and he is running your life and he is your lifeline, there must needs be some fruit. If not, it's going to be hewn and cut and burned and cast into the lake of fire. That's just what it says. These people who are professing Christianity, they don't have the works, man. They don't have the works for repentance. They have the work meet for the world. They're men pleasers. They want people to see what they're doing. They could care less if it makes God happy. They could care less if, I'll go give this food to this person here. You see what I'm doing? They could care less. I know people in this church who give and do things in secret. Because they really just don't want nobody to know nothing. But that's not how these people who profess to be Christians are doing things. They want everybody to see. Simon stood there in front of everybody. And he just yelling and using all these sorceries and putting on a big, humongous show, and everybody's like, oh, he must have power with God. And they're listening to him because he's out there. He's so wonderful. Look at him. That's not what Jesus asked us to do. He says, do things so your left hand or right hand, I don't know which one, so that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, and your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. You see, there's going to be works. You don't have to go out there and be all flashy, not everybody's fit for the ministry. God doesn't put everybody in, every single person in the ministry. But sitting in a church pew, praying, loving people, doing what you can, doing it in secret, that's a ministry in itself. What are these people doing? They're going, dropping money in the bucket, walking out the door, and going to live their life any old way they want. With no repentance whatsoever. None. They go home, the Bible, they don't even, if they do carry an NIV, it's a paperback NIV, they can care less about it. It's all ripped up and no good anyway. There's no repentance here. They missed the whole purpose. You know what? The whole thing is to let Jesus abide in you, let him, his lifeline feed you, not your own self. God forbid if I just stand there every day in and day out, and I try feeding myself, and I try doing this, and I try doing that. You know what happens? Failure. You know, get on your face with God. I mean, get on there and say, Lord, this is what's going on in my life. You know my weaknesses, my trials. I need your strength to get me through things every day. I need your help to be able to deal with people. You know, I need your help to love people. I need your help to give me wisdom on how to handle things in my family and stuff like that. Because, you know, every time I get out of doing that, I get myself in more trouble than I ever imagined. I mean, the Lord just, I'm not going to say it. The Lord just hit me up with something the other day. I'm like, man, I do better. But yeah, I thought, you know why? Because just for that one second, I stepped away from Jesus. Just for a minute, bam. That's all it takes. I mean, just a millisecond, pow. Oh, what do I do? And I'm just telling you, man, these people, it doesn't bother them what they do. They have no conscience. It doesn't faze them. They'll be sitting in a church pew, and 10 minutes later, they'll be at a party drinking and laughing at disgusting jokes and everything else, and it doesn't bother them. They're Christians, though. They missed it. I'm telling you, they missed it. Peter was watching Simon and realized that Simon had missed salvation. Then Peter comes and tells Simon why he missed repentance and salvation. Acts 8:18. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. You see, now Simon's, he wants to go offer money for the power of God in his life. Why? Listen, I don't know how to have to offer anybody any money for me and Jesus to get along and get together and do what he wants me to do in my life. I don't have to go pay anybody that. He gives me his power when he sees fit, on his terms. God is not going to give Simon any kind of power for anything to offer. I don't care how much money you try to offer. People are trying to buy their way in the ministries today. The Joel scenes and all that, that's the way they do it. Listen, you pay me, I'll preach a little good something, you play a little bit of music, put some money in the pot, you go ahead and do your way. I won't say a word to you. You can live your life any old way you want. Simon stood there and said, gosh, I want that power. If you have the power of Jesus Christ living inside you, why are you offering somebody money to give you that power? You see, God fulfills that in you already. Why am I offering, if he really had it, why is he going out there offering people money for it? I can't go out there and buy salvation from anybody. The Bible says that I will know. The Spirit of God will witness to my spirit that I'm his child. And I have that spirit that witnesses my spirit. So why am I going to go out there and pay for something I already have? Because Simon didn't have that. Peter's going to point that out to him right here.
He's going to point it out. He says, But Peter said unto him, now I told you, Peter's been watching this. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. I'm telling you right now, if Simon had salvation, why is he asking Peter to pray for him? If he already had it, then why is Peter telling him, listen, this is how you missed it. I'm going to show you why you missed it. Why? He's been watching what Simon's doing. He sees his motives. He's seeing plainly what's going on. And he tells Simon straight out, you missed it, my man. Let's see
what he says here. And then they went, and verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. He tried coming to Jesus with the ways of the world, with pride and with money. In verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money, saying, give me also this power, on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive. His motives were not right, and his heart was not ready for repentance. Acts 8:21 says that thou hast neither part nor lie in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray, God, if perhaps though of thy heart may be forgiven thee. So many try to come to Jesus this way and miss it, and then they go out there and live a life full of unrighteousness.
Peter told them, listen, man, you can't buy salvation. Number two, you're not going to get the power of God for money. Number three, your heart is not right. Number four, you didn't repent. Number five, you have bitterness in your heart. Number six, he says you need to go and find what real repentance is. That's what he told him. So twice, Simon professed that he was saved. He's out there preaching. People already had the power of God. Number two, he heard Philip preach, believed, and got baptized, but missed it. Because now Peter's telling him why he missed it. But there's people out there today who will believe, as Simon did, that they're saved. They're sitting in a church pew, just as lost as ever. Their motives are wrong. They never came to God with true repentance. Read what those verses are saying. He's telling them straight out why he missed it. His heart is not right with God. I mean, he just absolutely,
he's got bitterness in it. For I perceive there are gall, bitterness, and the bond of iniquity. This guy's out there living a life of sin. He's out there still being lawless.
And he calls himself a Christian. He just got baptized, and he's still out there living in the bonds of iniquity. He's still out there living in bitterness.
Then answered Simon and said, pray the Lord for me that none of these things you have spoken come upon me.
Peter's like, man, they're already on you. I'm watching. I'm telling you what's wrong with your life. I'm telling you what's going on right now. You're not listening. You missed it. You're saying that you're a Christian. You're saying that you have power of God, but you're trying to buy it. But you didn't. Never repent. Your heart's not right. What is going on? You're professing Christianity, but you missed it.
These people are, I'm just telling you, man, people are missing the mark. They're coming.
I don't know how many times our pastor has said it. Listen to me. You're not ever going to go to Jesus on your terms. Over and over again, we see here Simon trying to get to Jesus, trying to get to heaven, trying to get the power of God on his terms, with his pride, with his bitterness, with his anger. And you know what? The sad thing is, he says, you pray for me. He's not even willing to pray for his own self.
That's what it says?
Right.
That's what it says. He's not willing to pray. He says, you pray for me that these don't come upon me.
Why? Because his bitterness has him angry at Peter. Why? Because he just told the truth. You're not saved. This is why you're not saved. Now he's mad at Peter. Huh?
Professing Christianity, sitting in a church pew lost, don't want to hear nothing God has to say, in the bonds of iniquity, sitting in your bitterness, loving it, comfortable in it, wallowing in it.
You know, a pig likes to wallow in their mess. And most people in church pews today are doing the same thing.
Oh, you pray for me then. No, pray for yourself. Come to church on Wednesday night. You pray for yourself. You get on your knees. Let's see. Galatians 5:20. I'm going to back up even more. I'm sorry. So many try to come to Jesus this way and miss it. And then they go out there and live a life full of unrighteousness. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and such, of which I tell you there before, as also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And they do these things and believe they're saved.
I'm not saying a Christian can't fall into them, but I'm just telling you now, God will reveal to you what you're doing and you will turn away from it. These people are living in it. He said these people will not inherit. He's talking to lost people here. But he's talking to people who are sitting in church pews today who believe they're Christians. You go out there and you just look at some of these other churches. And I'm not saying Baptists are perfect and this and that, because they're not. There's lost Baptist people sitting in pews tonight. But what I'm telling you is this. Your profession of Christianity has doing nothing for you. Pastor says it this way, just to keep it plain and simple. He said, I've just come to the realization this, when people get saved, change happens. Plain and simple. You know, people have watched the movie, what's that one, that Passion of Christ. Just in for 1 second. If you've ever seen the picture of how they dress the guy up in the makeup, but just picture twice, three, maybe four times worse than that was what really happened to Jesus. And he went and did that on the cross for you to stay the same. For you to go ahead and continue to live any old way you want. You think that he had his beard ripped out, got the thorn of crowns kicked on his head, and I mean, just got drugged through the mud. I mean, just he went through all this stuff. Then he gets nailed to a cross, and then the worst of all, his father turns his face against him because he comes sin. Do you think he went through all that just to leave you the same old person? Do you think he just went through all that to go ahead and you can stamp the name Christianity on you and live your life any old way you want? No, he died to change you, to save you, to make you into something that he wants you to be, not something you want to be. That's where most people are messed up. God is not leaving you where you want to be. He's going to take you somewhere that you never thought you would be. He's able to do above all. I just could not imagine my life being where I am today. I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you what. Just the things he's done in my life is absolute miracle to me who I am today. Just a miracle. A miracle that I have a beautiful family that I love them. And I mean, just my heart has a new beat to it. It has a beat that I really want to just go out there and do something for. I want the Lord to use me somewhere. And if not, then just have me step out of the way. My prayer is daily, Lord, if you're not in anything that I do, then please just take it away from me. Because I will ruin everything. I told the teens this morning, I said, you know what? If God is not in this, then please, God, get me out of the way, because I'll ruin them teenagers' lives. I'll ruin them people's lives at Wellspring. I'll ruin your life sitting in this church if I'm in the way. I'll ruin my family's life if I'm in the way. I have to be out of the way. And I tell them that, please, Lord, don't let me go on any longer if I'm in the way. Please, take me out of the way. Please, just remove me. I'll sit on that bench and be a prayer warrior the rest of my life and be happy. Because I know how to ruin lives. I don't know how to change lives. But I know my Savior knows how to change lives. And I'm just telling you now, I can profess Christianity with change. I'm not somebody who's professing Christianity and missed it. I got that, Mark. I got that. October 10th, 2011, 9.5 East Main Street. I'll tell you what happened in my living room. Pastor was praying in one corner. Pastor Shank was praying in another. I got gloriously saved. 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 No question about it. No question. I'm not perfect, and I have not attained anything God wants me to attain yet, but I can just tell you this. I'm not out to profess something I don't really live. You know where big testimony is? When you walk outside these doors, and you run into, people see you, and they hide behind shelves, and looking, is that family really like they say they are? You don't think people are watching? You're crazy. They're watching you. They think, oh, he didn't see me. Let me see if he's really living it. Is he buying alcohol? What's he buying? Cigarettes? Weed? What's he got? They're watching you. Then call yourself a Christian. You put that Christian name on yourself and wonder why people have so many hard time listening to somebody who really got saved, somebody who's really trying to do something for the Lord, somebody who's really trying to help somebody, somebody who's really trying to show you the good way, the new way, and they won't listen to us. Why? Because you go out there dragging it all in the mud. Call yourself a Christian. You might as well go listen to Joel Osteen. Why bother coming here? Why? Go sit in your living room and watch Joel Osteen and Charles Stanley and all that. You can do whatever you want and still call yourself a Christian there. Then you can go out to the bars and all that stuff. Well, hey, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about giving Black Creek Baptist Church a bad name anymore. Just sit in your living room and do what you want to do.
Christianity, the Bible, it goes home with you, people. That's where it should be in our homes. Should be in our hearts. First of all, should be in our hearts. Each individual should have Jesus Christ in their heart before anything else. Number two, if you're running a household or living or having a family, you know where it needs to be? In your family, in your house. If you can dream it, dream it. If you can read it, read it. If you can pray it, pray it. Just do it. It'll give you a changed life. You won't stay the same. Simon here still missed it twice. I want to finish this. Acts 8:23. For I perceive that thou art in gall bitterness and in a bond of iniquity. Simon was full of bitterness and iniquity. He was not willing to repent from this. Therefore he missed salvation. So many are out there professing what Simon had with no real conversion. Sinners must come to God on his terms. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father but by me. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, to salvation, to salvation. Repentance works unto salvation. You're not going to get salvation or repentance on any other way but by going to Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what I asked the teens this morning? And I'm going to ask every one of you in here right now. How comfortable are you to die with what you have right now? How many of you are comfortable to go to your grave, open your eyes, and stand before a holy God with what you live right now? How many of you are comfortable with that? How many of you are comfortable with walking out those doors not knowing? That little girl just went to school last week, or a few days ago. So this guy asked her to prom. She said, no, I won't go to the prom, and got killed. What makes you think you won't die today? Are you comfortable where you're at? Are you comfortable to stand there before a holy God and say, I'm okay? I'm ready to do it. How many of you are really comfortable with that Christianity you think you have? Jesus says he's the way. Sorrow. If God is working repentance in your life, please heed to it. Take heed to it. Don't turn from it. Don't run from it. Face that sorrow that God is putting in your heart. You know what? He'll do something with it. He promises you he will. That's why he tells you don't turn from it. Godly sorrow worketh to repentance. That should not be repented of. Let God work some sorrow in your... You know what? Let God work some sorrow in your mind and your heart and your brain and your eyes and your life and just see what the difference he can do. In Job 33:27, he looketh upon men and say, if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not. He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Plain and simple. But nobody wants it. Nobody wants to live holy or righteous anymore. Nobody wants to see what God wants to give them. Nobody wants to say, yep, I sin. Man, listen, when you sin against a holy God. Yes, you hurt people on this earth, but you're doing it against God. You're sinning against God. He wants you to know that in your heart. He wants you to see that. He wants you to know that you're perverting everything that is good. And he wants you also to realize in your heart that nothing you've done has ever done you any good.
Right.
I'm going to finish with this. You guys know my past. What good has it ever done me? Zero. And I'm just telling you today, within the next 2 minutes before we walk out this door, if you're comfortable with what you have, if you're comfortable with going to the grave with what you have, if you're comfortable waking up and you're opening your eyes and God, you're standing there before God, then I'm happy for you. But if not, don't profess Christianity anymore. Go ahead and let God read Job 33:27-28 and let him work some repentance in your life. I'm done, Pastor.